We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome inside a new episode of the Pykele Podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health and the Rutgers Sports Network. Rutgers coming off a solid, and I mean a solid, blowout win over Wake Forest this past Saturday at Jersey Mike's Arena. They improved to 7-4 on the season. And without further ado, we welcome in the head coach of the Scarlet Knights, the coach himself, Steve Pykele. Coach, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing a lot better today. It was a tough couple weeks, but I loved the fact that we had a great crowd, which was very important for us. I thought we were really focused on what we needed to do against a team that could really score points and had the leading score in the ACC, leading their attack in Appleby. And I just thought we got great contributions. We had five guys in double figures. We had a six guy with eight. Mawat Mag had 8 points, so almost had six guys in double figures. Season high 14 steals. We had 11 kills, which is for us, that means three stops in a row. We did that over 11 times in the game, which is the highest we've had, you know, for the season. And we've been great on that end of the floor, as you know, Jerry. So to be even better than we've been is really exciting for us. And, you know, just please, good win against an NCAA tournament team. And, you know, now we got a little time to finish up exams, and then we have Bucknell before Christmas.
You know what really intrigued me or impressed me about Saturday was we know you guys can play defense. I mean, heck, in the 8 home games, you've kept the teams under their average, and the Wake Forest game was absurd. You kept them, I think it was 20 points below their average. But, you know, usually when you start as fast as you're doing, I don't mean Rutgers, I mean in general, at this level of basketball, you can keep up that energy for a short burst and, you know, maybe get a good start. You guys maintain that level for 40 minutes. And yes, they had maybe 2 runs in the game, but you answered both of them. And I don't know, defensively, you bothered them so much for 40 minutes. How impressed were you looking back at the film about the constant pressure and energy and effort?
Yeah, I mean, I was just, you know, I told our guys, like, we were connected on both ends of the ball. You know, like our defense was elite, but our offense, 281 points, we really passed the ball. We shot 58% field goal percentage, which is the highest I know since I've been here. So I thought we just were connected. I liked our rotation. Again, guys are healthy. We had a little time to prepare, which was a good thing. But whenever a team goes into Wisconsin and a guard gets 33 points and you know, very nervous with that basketball game. They got elite shooters and the kid Montesano, and they got really good guards in the backcourt, and they're well coached. So, you know, that's a really good win for us and, you know, bodes well for us moving forward. If we can play like that on both ends of the ball, good things are going to happen for us.
Len Elmore was doing the game on Big Ten. And since I was sick, I was home watching, and very complimentary of clearly your defense too, but he very early on in this game, he said, you know, don't sleep on this Rutgers offense because they've got players. And as you pointed out in the beginning, you know, several guys in double figures. Mawat was right there with 8. Is that the way you played on Saturday? Is that the way you would love to draw it up in terms of having everybody involved? It seemed like the ball was moving constantly. Is that about as good as you can envision it being?
You know, it's, you know, everyone did what they do well, you know, and I thought obviously Cam got us off to a good start. And, but like, I thought we had back cuts, we had post ups, we had open jump shots by the right people. I thought Paul was orchestrating, you know, he had 10 points, he had 7 assists, he had 3 steals. Paul doing all the things he does. Caleb, you know, to hold Appleby to 5 shot attempts, I mean, he was averaging 14 and a half. Just the work that it takes to eliminate all those shots that he normally would take is amazing. And, you know, I just thought, again, we were really connected. We had a good game plan, obviously. This team is unique in that, you know, we can really do a lot of different things defensively. And you saw a lot of different things. We do a lot of different looks, and, you know, teams have to be really prepared for a lot of different things. And in one game, I'll pull something out that we haven't done in the last 3 games. You know, so I know teams aren't prepared for it. So it was good. It was a good way to play. And again, good confidence booster headed into, you know, this Bucknell game right before Christmas. Then they have a few days off, which they need. You know, it's important for them to get home and be with their families. They just finished a grueling week of finals and do that and then come back and get ready for the next set of obstacles.
Can you put into context, because you kind of alluded to it there, the stretch you just went through and now finals, you've got a couple of home games here, but can you put into context what it's been like for these guys over the last couple of weeks, a couple of flights, some road trips, tough non-conference games, in-conference games with Ohio State and Indiana? What kind of an early season test and grind has it been for them?
You know, I think we learned a lot about, you know, our guys, but I will tell you, you know, I can always tell how people feel by our freshmen. You know, freshmen going through a lot. You know, you got 5 exams that you're taking or 5 finals, whatever it is. They're doing it for the first time. The grueling travel, the, you know, preparation that goes into all these games, the physicality of these games. I mean, these teams are all really good. The emotions, and you got to now be focused on your classes after the game's over. And then you got to read the internet and the things that the internet's saying about everyone and how, you know, so like there's a lot on their plates. I'm proud of them, and they just plowed through it. We just kept preparing. We just stayed the course. We really turned around on Saturday. Saturday was an early morning game, and we were ready to play from the opening tip. And, you know, and that's not easy to do sometimes when you're dealing 18, 19, 20-year-olds that are finishing up final exams and finishing up presentations. One was doing a presentation at 9 o'clock at night on Friday night before the game, you know, for his class. And another was doing a group project, and another was, you know, like, so they have all the same obligations that the regular student has that doesn't play basketball. And you really feel for them, and you know that look on their face. So I'm hoping by Wednesday, we're kind of wrapped up with that. So, Thursday, Friday, it could just be basketball.
Probably a good time to mention Randy Larson, as we do at least once or twice a year, because all that work that they put in, she's front and center, making sure they get it done. And I imagine for you, invaluable having her on your side.
Well, I tell you, she's really our MVP. Like she may not be that tall, Jerry, but yeah, she is very important to our basketball program. She does a great job. She has great experience too. And, you know, she kind of knows how the players are too, because she sees it on the other side. She sees when they're exhausted after a tough practice and then they got to focus on, you know, those things. So she sees it. I see it when I see them come in after a tough night of studying too. So, you know, those are the challenges that you have. That's why it's not easy for these student athletes. It really isn't. People think they're pros. Pros just go to practice and they prepare for their basketball game. No, these guys are full-time student athletes with a lot of different responsibilities.
All right, we'll take our first break. When we come back, we got a lot to get to, including the upcoming games at Jersey Mike's Arena. And then, of course, the Big Ten schedule will begin after the new year. It's a new episode of the Pikel Podcast on the RWJ Barnabas Health and Rutgers Sports Network. So nice to have you with us as we are approaching the holidays, of course, Christmas on Sunday, the new year the week following, another episode of the Peichel Podcast. You know, one of the things we were talking about before the break and before we were talking about Randy and the studies, you were talking about the team's defense. And clearly, you know, Caleb McConnell, he's received the accolades, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, could have been the National Defensive Player of the Year last year. But it was interesting you were talking about giving teams different looks, yet he's a constant. What is it about him exactly that you see that makes him so good and so handsy and such a pain to deal with?
Well, first of all, he's up for the challenge. Like, some guys really take on the challenges that are in front of you. And he always wants the best player. He watches the most film of that player. So he does as good a job of preparing to be good on that end of the floor. Because as you know, Jerry, everyone talks about everything else but that end of the floor. He starts with that end of the floor, how he can get steals, what he can take away if he wants to top block a guy, play behind him. He asks questions about screen coverages and the different ones that he thinks will work. He's now to the point where he's become a part of the defensive staff. Like, I'll ask him what his thoughts are on certain guys. So his activity is always, and he's got quick hands. He's a good anticipator. He's got great length, great athleticism too. That's all part of it. But you got to have that mindset and that heart, you know, to be on that end of the floor where you get no credit. Obviously he is, because he's the best defender, I think, in the country. But he puts a lot of time into being good and making scouting report steals and scouting report stops. That's a credit, and he's gotten better at that. He wasn't like that his freshman year. He's really grown into it and done an unbelievable job.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the film in the beginning. So Darnay Holmes of the Giants, of the New York Giants, after their game with Washington on Sunday Night Football, talked about the final play and that he was ready for it because of film study and film preparation, that Washington did exactly what they were prepared to do. In your coaching career, has there ever been, I'm not asking for names, but have there ever been players that have been so reluctant to study the film because they thought has it been a challenge sometimes getting guys to sit down and put that time in because maybe they didn't see the initial benefit, as it takes time sometimes to learn it?
Yeah, I mean, it's an acquired taste. Like, when you come out of high school, you don't do a lot of film work, so you don't see the value in it. When you start learning at this level that you could really help improve yourself, guys start putting more, you know, and more time into it. And partly too, it's when you have the time. Like, if you're in the middle of finals week, it's harder. If you're playing back-to-back games or playing games with one day to prepare, you know, it's harder to find that time. But Caleb always tries to find that time. Paul Mulcahy does a great job with that. Cam Spencer, I mean, they do a good job. Cliff with film work too, but they've learned the value of it. And I always say, when your legs are tired, your mind can still learn and your mind can prepare you, you know, to be great in that game. And I think we as a staff do a great job of watching 8-10 films, whatever. You know, if a team played 11 games, we watch all 11 films, and then we condense it for all of them, you know, and give them like a Cliff Notes version of, you know, this is what they're all about, and these are the things we have to do. But that guy that goes that little extra always gets a little extra back. And, you know, I think that's become a culture. And once kids realize how important film is, they really embrace it. And it helps them a ton. It helps them score points. It helps them eliminate points from the other team. And my staff does a really good job, you know, making sure that guys understand how they can steal points.
You mentioned Cliff in there. And I know I've talked to you about this before in one of our pregame chats, but it was evident again on Saturday, his patience and not going and taking the game when it might not be there. And someone else, like Cam Spencer, had it going to start Saturday, and it was his game to get going. But my God, Cliff just takes over when the game finally comes to him. Is that something you've kind of tried to pound into his head, or is that just his personality that he's not going to rush anything and he will take what the other team gives him?
I mean, I think he's learned a lot too from film. So I think he's done a really good job. I also think, you know, Jerry, he went from being number three on the scouting report last year, or, you know, number four, whoever, however a team might look at us, to being number one, you know, and that's a huge adjustment. I mean, people don't understand that. I mean, I get emails I get. I get Cliff the ball, you know, like the other team just spent 2.5 weeks, how not to let him, you know what I mean? Like it's like the there's another team on the floor. It's not, we're not running, you know, dummy offense with no defense. Like, you know, like they saw him score 20 points. They saw him grab 15 rebounds. They said, you know, they're going to box him out. Like, you know, so when you go from number three or number four on the, to number one, it's a huge difference. It's a huge difference. The emphasis is around you. And the more he's patient and with poise and continues to get better, like he'll continue to make good decisions. And, you know, he made them the other day. He had a couple turnovers, a couple were obviously offensive foul calls, which, you know, one of them I thought was very questionable, you know, screening action, you know, call. But so those counted as turnovers. But we want him to take his time and show good poise, survey the floor, and then make his move. And he's done a really good job of learning that and getting better at it.
One more question before we take the break, and then we're going to do a little Rutgers in the record books on the other side. But you've pretty much highlighted it. Everybody's contributed. Derek Simpson, though, seems like he gives you that instant spark off the bench. You know, he started early on because there were injuries, and we've talked about the benefit that he probably has earned from that. Have you seen a different Simpson now as we are a full 5 weeks into the season, 6 weeks into the season?
Absolutely. I mean, it's coming leaps and bounds. And first, he's great to coach. I think he and Wolfolk have a chance to be really, really, you know, really good. And they're getting better and better every time I put them out there. They're another crew that really can learn from film. They're very athletic. Both of them kind of fly around the court. But he's getting more and more comfortable on the ball, off the ball. He's got elite speed. You know, as you know, and, you know, I just like having him out there. He brings another element to our offense and our defense with his speed and anticipation, his quickness, and he can get downhill and get in a lane and make some plays. Like he had a tremendous drive the other day. They switched and they had the kid Carr guarding him at the top of the key, and he just was patient. Then he just broke him down off the dribble, and then he kicked it to Cliff for a dunk. You know, like those are the kind of plays that he can make. And we need him to, you know, moving forward here. And I think even during this break, he'll even be better without having to worry about schoolwork and all the other things that freshmen struggle with, you know, especially in that first semester.
And that's another example of the team being very unselfish, which to me has been so impressive to watch. Quick break. When we come back, a little thing we'll call Rutgers in the record books. And then we'll look ahead to Bucknell, Coppin State, and then, of course, Purdue, which is looming on the other side of the new year. It's a new episode of the Pikel Podcast, the RWJ Barnabas Health and Rutgers Sports Network. Great to have you with us. A new episode of the Pikel Podcast. Before the break, we were talking a lot about the players themselves, and, you know, you always are so gracious with the fans and the crowd you get at Jersey Mike's Arena, but it is amazing to me to think that you will hit win number 50 at Jersey Mike's Arena in the last 4 years if you beat Bucknell on Friday. You will go into that game 49-9 in the last 4 years in that arena. What do you think about when you hear a number like that? That's not good. That is dominant.
Well, I think about probably the 4 years prior. It was the exact opposite. I don't know that for a fact. What was it, 9-50? you know, in those kind of games. But, you know, I'm just so thankful. The crowd the other day was outstanding, and they were involved from the opening tip. And for a 12 o'clock in the morning, you just never to kind of know. But our students were great. The season ticket holders, people were awesome. And they made the place the toughest place in the country to play. And our players really feed off of that. So that's a credit to, you know, the Riot Squad and to our students and to other that record, you know, we're 49-9 over the last 4 years. That's tremendous. And I can only think of a few of the wins and a bunch of the losses that we have, but how close those games were too, I'm sure, you know. And so thankful we've built that kind of a home court advantage, but thankful that these fans keep coming out. These kids are awesome, you know, to be supported and to come watch them play and to know that we're going to have five or six of them on the Dean's list. You know, we're not number one in the country in, name, image, and likeness, where these kids aren't getting, you know, what a lot of these different places are. These are just great kids that came here because they want to represent Rutgers basketball. They do great on and off the court, and I'm thankful that people come and support them.
No question about it. And then another one in terms of the record books would be one Steve Peichel. So win number 105, you tied Donald White for fifth most victories at Rutgers in program history. I know you're not going to talk about yourself, but I will say pretty impressive what you've done here. When you hear names like Tom Young, Bob Wenzel, Bill Fogg, names like that, you know, that you have to at least take a minute to pat yourself on the back or some do something, have a glass of wine, anything. Can you at least enjoy it for 5 minutes?
Hey, Jerry, enough of that.
No, I'll tell you one thing, though. I was watching because I've been glued to the TV for the last, you know, whatever it's been because of this COVID stuff. And I did watch the documentary on the Big Ten Network on the 76 team. And my God, they were putting up 100 points a game with no 3-point line. I mean, think about how different the game was.
Scary when you see some of those things with that team and the talented players. And you know what? All the people on that group, they were great people too. And a lot of them are still very involved with our program. And, you know, for them to score that many points when, you know, they weren't just blowing the whistle back in those days either. To a foul was probably a broken arm and a bloody nose. You right. know, so very, very different kind of basketball, a very different kind of time. And that they were able to assemble a team like that was just, you know, just amazing. But I will tell you this, the one I did have a day yesterday. My wife texted me about 10 days ago and she said, Steve, do you understand that Christmas is 10 days away? And we still have yet to get a Christmas tree. I said, sorry, honey. And yesterday, so we're only 7 days out, but I got my Christmas tree up in my house. And the wife was happy. 7 days, she gets to enjoy the, you know, tree and stuff. But that's the life of a basketball coach when you're going through all the craziness and all the, you know, tough scheduling part of the season. And all those things, but I am very thankful to, you know, my family and yesterday we got to decorate the tree. So that was, I got a couple hours to enjoy and I want to wish everyone too, happy holidays and, you know, we're all blessed.
The wives and the families are really the MVPs. And I know working with Boomer Esiason, and we always have the joke that, you know, him working in radio for the last 16 years has humanized him because prior to that, he was just a football player and no one cared about him, the person. And now we actually see he's a real person and has to do things like Christmas trees like you. one interesting question about college basketball that I noticed while I've been watching TV nonstop, you know, watching Penn State struggle with Canisius. So now I know these games turned out to be blowouts or at least relatively routine wins, but early struggles with a team like Canisius. Wisconsin and Lehigh early on, a struggle for Wisconsin. I mean, a big struggle early. Even Davidson gave Purdue all they could handle for full 40 minutes. How difficult has the game become, whether it is name, image, and likeness, whether it is the mid-majors getting better, whether it is guys staying for 4 and 5 years and playing against older teams, how difficult for these power conferences like the Big Ten have these non-conference games become?
Well, I will tell you, I mean, they become very difficult because every team is so old now, you know, between the COVID year and between the extra year of eligibility and between the way the portal is, name, image, and likeness is another obstacle that just gets in the way too of, you know, getting kids to say yes to coming to your university. But I'll give you a perfect example. You know, Derek Simpson was in his first year of college. Okay. And Wake Forest senior point guard is in year 6, Appleby. Mm-hmm. Yep. He's in year 6. So he's 6 years of experience over Derek Simpson, you know? And like, you cannot put a price tag on 6 years of experience playing at this level against those level teams. And plus, just think about your mind when you were 18 years old and then your mind at 24, your yeah. mind at 25. And that's what college is like. So when people say, oh, that score was an upset, that's no, like some of these got 6 year seniors and, you know, and if you're a normal program and you got 3 freshmen and 3 sophomores and 3, you know, and you're playing 6 year guys that are, you know, 6 years older. I wish I was still in college at 24, 25. My God, I just think about what I would have been seeing on the court and what I would have of known at that point in time. So, you know, college basketball has changed. I think football, I think, you know, it all has changed, and you got a few more years of the COVID. So the extra year of eligibility has changed the way you look at your teams and the way you look at, you know, grad transfers and everything else. So there's a lot of things going on right now. We just got a new president too, the NCAA. I don't know what direction he's going to take this thing in too, but, you know, age is always important. I always say, I feel comfortable, you know, Caleb's 5 years, you know, on the ship, you know, he knows where it's going. He knows what it's like to play at Purdue. He knows what it's like, but he now has to share that knowledge with guys that have no idea, you know, what that's all about. And, you know, the more steady hands you have while you're taking the ship across some bumpy waters, you know, the better you're going to be. But sometimes you don't have that luxury, you know, as you're building a program every year, you don't have the luxury of being old or being having some old. I like our blend because I think you need both. But some schools are all in right now to being old. And, you know, you see it sometimes. It does pay off sometimes. It probably won't pay off 2 years from now, you know, but it probably pays off in the immediate.
Isn't it amazing, too, when you see someone, you mentioned Caleb, Meek and Paul, I guess you could say, too. When you think back to when they walked in as freshmen to when the swagger they have now as, you know, Caleb, a fifth year senior, they're the same person. But that 5 years, to your point, is such a difference to that person you saw and the person that they are now.
It's huge. I mean, that's what college does. And that's what experience does, you know, with you. But it's really kind of amazing. You know, the development and how even I can talk to them and how they can handle so much more, you know, and they've managed school and they manage the expectations. They've done a good job of managing the phone. The phone's the hardest thing for the freshman to manage. It really is. In high school, they all got compliments. You know, that's all it was, compliments. And because the only people following them were their friends anyways. Now they add all these new followers and they have to understand now how to play through criticism. You know, and they can't put the phones down. It's, you know, it's a national crisis for all young men and women. Can't put them down. Like, that's not even an option, you know. And so they have to manage those things, too. So when they get older, they kind of, now Caleb puts it down. It's like unbelievable. He puts it down now. He realizes it hasn't helped him. You know, now he puts it down. He doesn't look at it after games, you know, that kind of thing. It's awesome, you know, but he didn't know that before, and he was doing the same thing.
I'll leave you on this because you want to talk about a crisis for kids. I was in the Garden State Parkway about 3 weeks ago, middle lane, and the car is just barely moving. So I swerve left to get away. And it was a woman that had to have been between 70 and 80, 85 texting on the parkway.
There you go.
It ain't just the kids. It that is a national crisis.
That about sums it up. I'm sure there was an accident later on, though.
Unbelievable. Well, as always, we appreciate your time. We'll do this again in a couple of weeks. We got Bucknell on Friday, the 23rd, 5 p.m. Going to be a great atmosphere. And then, of course, the 30th against Coppin State. And then things pick up again with Purdue on the road in West Lafayette after the new year. Coach, happy holidays. I will see you Friday, but happy holidays to you and your family. We appreciate your time as always.
Happy holidays to everyone. Thanks so much, Jerry. Appreciate you.
And that'll do it for a new episode of the Pikel Podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health and the Rutgers Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.